And so, ideological segregation?
Yeah. And it's residential as well. For example, if you look at, you know, three or four presidential elections ago, there were a certain, I forget the number, but there were a certain number of counties that were called landslide counties. You know, in other words, overwhelmingly went for one candidate or the other. The number of landslide counties has skyrocketed over the last 30 years. So Americans today are much more likely to live in a kind of ideologically homogeneous environment.
So all of this makes for certainly an unpleasant tone to the way we talk about politics. But I guess the question is it actually harming the country, hurting our political process in some material way?
Yes. It's diminishing our civic capacity. You know, it makes us less competent as citizens, as neighbors. It's a form of blindness. It's a disability. It's like not being able to see clearly. It infects our political system. It causes gridlock in Washington and turns politics into a just kind of ugly name-calling where most people are just sort of horrified by the ugly spectacle of it. But it also seeps into our civil society. You start unfriending people on Facebook because of their political opinions. You start having these knockdown, drag-out arguments at family dinner tables over politics, and people get all upset about it because people get so emotionally wrought up in their political disagreements. You know, ultimately, people are losing trust that politicians are even trying to do good things. So the level of cynicism rises dramatically under periods of high polarization. People just feel like all politicians are crooks. So, I think it, you know, I don't want to, we'll survive this, and we have in the past, but it has at times in the past led to violence. One time in the past, it led to a civil war where hundreds of thousands of people died. And the traces of violence that we see now in the current political season, I think, are, I'm talking about the Trump rallies, this can lead to violence and has in the past.
You know, one of the things that's so both fascinating and scary about what you're describing is that all of this, from the sound of it, begins with habits of mind, habits of thinking. You know, you just get in the habit of thinking that all Republicans or all Democrats are wrong. And then from there you jump to and bad people too. There's something self-perpetuating about it.
That's really true. As I've tried to wrestle with this, I've come to the view that we have developed ways of thinking that enabled this problem to continue. One example is binary thinking, the idea that everything divides into two choices that don't have anything in common with one another. It's a hallmark of polarized thinking. And so whenever you hear someone say that, whenever they go, these are the two choices and it's between day and night, black and white, good and bad, you know you're talking to someone who is a polarized thinker. Very few situations in the real world are that way.
I'm curious, you spent some years at the center of one of the most highly polarized issues in the country. That was gay marriage.
Right.
Would you do things differently now? Do you look back and think, wow, I was contributing to a polarized debate on this subject?
Well, I would do things differently now. You know, for a long time, I was really burned in the gay marriage issue. I felt burned. I was a strong opponent of gay marriage. I wrote books and articles and spoke around the country, and I was the state witness in the Prop 8 trial in California several years ago and was really in the public eye on the issue of gay marriage. And then when I changed my position, it was just another thing you're not supposed to do under conditions of polarization, by the way. Changing your position is viewed as a sign of weakness. But I did. I changed my position and I just got caught in that crossfire. And for a while, I thought, oh, poor me. The world doesn't understand my careful, nuanced thinking on this. But I actually think that I did contribute to it now that I look back on it, because I let myself become involved in the same kind of polarized conflict, culture war paradigm. You know, I let myself become blind to certain things. You know, we're all in this. I mean, I don't think anybody can sit around just pointing fingers and saying, oh, you people need to clean up your act. We're all in this. We're all a part of this. And so part of the passion that I feel about this now is wanting to do better.